Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, October 15th. In the book of Isaiah, we have a bit of a shift today. We've been going through all of the chapters. We got to chapter 39 yesterday. And remember, there was a prediction of the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon. I want to read to you from my NIV study Bible. Isaiah addresses chapters 1 through 39 to the people of his own day. These people are not only from Judah, but also from the northern kingdom of Israel, prior to that kingdom's final fall to Assyria in 722 BC. Jerusalem is the only location Isaiah identifies as a place where he delivers his messages. The audience of chapters 40 through 55 and 56 through 66 is much less certain. There are elements in these chapters that would be appropriate to the 8th century BC audience, but there are others that seem less appropriate. The earlier part of the book addresses people who are concerned about impeding national calamity, i.e. Babylon coming in, and inclined to trust the nations, whether Assyria or Egypt, to avert this calamity. But chapters 40 through 55 address a captive people who doubt that their God wants to and is able to or intends to deliver them, whereas God calls the earlier people to trust him and not the nations, he calls these people to believe his promise of deliverance. And so here in chapter 40 today, we're going to hear about God's encouraging word to the people about hope. And the greater hope that he's speaking of is not just for a restored Jerusalem after exile, but for a restored new Jerusalem, a place where all nations will come together in peace. In chapters 40 through 48, we're going to explore this hope, and there's announcements of comfort and hope and that the Babylonian exile is over. But then, as hinted in the study Bible, chapters 41 through 47 are going to set up a trial scene where the people say, "Wait a minute, you were not with us." And God responds to the people's doubts. And he says the exile was a judgment, but for Israel's sake, Persia was raised up and will restore the people back to Jerusalem. Ultimately, the conclusion that Isaiah makes is that the God of Israel is the King of all nations. In chapters 49 through 55, we're going to get introduced to God's servant. We know that to be Jesus, and the servant fulfills the mission that Israel couldn't in bringing God's kingdom in the world. And then the end of Isaiah is this grand vision of God's renewed creation, and that's the powerful hope of Isaiah. Much of what I just said came from the Bible Project video. If you want to watch that video, it will give you more context for Isaiah. But let's go ahead and get into chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. This week I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. Our God has said, "Encourage my people, give them comfort. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and announce, your slavery is past, your punishment is over. I, the Lord, made you pay double for your sins." Someone is shouting, "Clear a path in the desert. Make a straight road for the Lord our God. Fill in the valleys, flatten every hill and mountain, level the rough and rugged ground. Then the glory of the Lord will appear for all to see. The Lord has promised this." Someone told me to shout, and I asked, "What should I shout? We humans are merely grass, and we last no longer than wildflowers." At the Lord's command, flowers and grass disappear, and so do we. Flowers and grass fade away, but what our God has said will never change. There is good news for the city of Zion. Shout it as loud as you can from the highest mountain. Don't be afraid to shout to the towns of Judah. Your God is here. Look, the powerful Lord God is coming to rule with his mighty arm. He brings with him what he has taken in war, and he rewards his people. The Lord cares for his nation just as shepherds care for their flocks. He carries the lambs in his arms while gently leading the mother sheep. Before we move on, I just want to talk a minute about that shepherd imagery. I love the shepherd imagery. In fact, I have a friend that kind of makes fun of me. Not really, just in jest, because I'm always talking about being a sheep or the Lord leading us like a shepherd. And she's like, "Do you know anything about sheep?" And I really don't. All I know is that Psalm 23 reminds me that the Lord is my shepherd and he provides what I need. Just simplifying the big concepts of the Bible down to that God is with me, that he cares for me as one of his very own, that he seeks after me, and he provides, if I trust in him, whatever I need physically, mentally, socially, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. Okay, let's move on over to Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 24. This is about Lydia becoming a follower of the Lord. Before I read, do you know anything about Lydia? Anything you remember about her? She sold cloth. Do you remember what color it was? I don't know. Purple. It's really fun to think about the little details that Luke gives us in the book of Acts just to ground us in a historical narrative. Starting in verse 11. We sailed straight from Troas to Samothrace, and the next day we arrived in Neapolis. From there we went to Philippi, which is a Roman colony in the first district of Macedonia. We spent several days in Philippi. Then on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to a place by the river where we thought there would be a Jewish meeting place for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who came. One of them was Lydia, who was from the city of Thyatira and sold expensive purple cloth. She was a worshiper of the Lord God, and he made her willing to accept what Paul was saying. Then after she and her family were baptized, she kept on begging us, "If you think I really do have faith in the Lord, come stay in my house." Finally, we accepted her invitation. One day on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. She had a spirit in her that gave her the power to tell the future. By doing this, she made a lot of money for her owners. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, and she kept yelling, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They are telling you how to be saved." This went on for several days. Finally, Paul got so upset that he turned and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to leave this girl alone." At once, the evil spirit left her. When the girl's owner realized that he had lost all chances for making more money, they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them into court. They told the officials, "These Jews are upsetting our city. They are telling us to do things we Romans are not allowed to do." The crowd joined in the attack on Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off the two men and ordered them to be beaten with a whip. After they had been badly beaten, they were put in jail, and the jailer was told to guard them carefully. The jailer did as he was told. He put them deep inside the jail and chained their feet to heavy blocks of wood. What an interesting pericope of scripture to hear about Lydia, who comes to know the Lord. She's already a worshiper of God, but Paul shares with her about Jesus. And finally, she asks them, "Hey, will you come to my house and stay with us? Teach us more about Jesus. And then Paul and Silas are put in jail because of the slave girl and because they call out the spirit that is in her, and her owners realize we're not going to make any more money off of this girl, and they are upset. I can't wait to share with you what happens in the jail sale, that was really country, tomorrow on the podcast. Our psalm for today is Psalm 94, verses 1 and 2. The Lord punishes the guilty. Lord God, you punish the guilty. Show what you are like and punish them now. You judge the earth. Come and help us. Pay back those proud people for what they have done. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together in a Bible study book on the book of Isaiah. Melissa Spolstra reminds us of different things that we see in Isaiah chapter 58 about who God is for us. And I just thought it was something that might encourage us today. So I want to pray this prayer of blessing over you. May the Lord show you His salvation coming like the dawn. May the Lord give you quick healing to your wounds. May His godliness lead you forward and His glory protect you from behind. May you hear the Lord calling you, and may you answer, "I am here." May God be a light shining in the darkness for you. May He guide you continually and restore you. May He give you strength and help you to flourish like a well-watered garden. May He help you to be restored, rebuilt, remastered. May the Lord satisfy you today with His promised inheritance. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.